Excited to preach week three in this Fruit of the Spirit sermon series. I want to talk just a little bit about the last couple of weeks, what I was touching on that led up to the fruit of love that we're supposed to show, supposed to shine our light. And thank you, Bruce. Shine God's light, show His love in a practical way. Like I always say, I wouldn't suggest, unless God is directly speaking to you, to be like laying hands on anybody down at the Kroger supermarket. They might not understand any of that unless God, like I said, He directly tells you to do so. But if we can just shine our light and show God's love in a practical way, it would impact the people that we are with every day, whether it's at school, at work, at the supermarket, wherever it may be. Could be in your neighborhood, could be at home, but to show God's love. And if you look in Galatians 5, you'll see that joy is another one of the fruit of the Spirit that I want to talk about just for a few minutes today. And want to remind you that it's the sinful nature that we have within us. Everybody know you have a sinful nature, right? Which is why the Bible calls for us to be born again. Nicodemus questioned in the Bible, he said, how could we be born twice? We're to be born once of our mother's womb, and then we are to be born again by the Spirit. So we're supposed to have a new spirit. And that is the only way that we can overcome the sinful nature. Because the sinful nature serves as opposition to the fruit of the Spirit. The sinful nature serves as opposition to love, and it serves as opposition to joy. How many of you want some joy in your life? You need joy to reign supreme in your life. If we do not continually prune the branches of the fruit of the Spirit, it will not grow. I told you in the first week, I always struggle with fruit and fruits of the Spirit. I go down the bunny trail of which one is plural and which one is not. I've decided in my head that I'm going to go with fruit of the Spirit as the plural. If you want to go online and read about it, trust me, there are more people than just me that have let their OCD get the best of them when trying to decide which one they want to use. So pruning the branches is the only way that we can produce this fruit continually. If you do not, it will not grow. The fruit when you are born again, all of them, there's nine listed in the book of Galatians chapter 5, if you want to go look at them. They are all seeds that are planted within us when we become born again. We get all of those things, and we have to try to work and live out the principles and precepts of the Bible and listen to the Spirit of God as it works in us and through us in order to get those seeds to manifest themselves in our life. But you get them all at once. You get salvation, you get the Spirit, you get life eternal. But you see, there are things on this earth that we have to do in order to reap all of the benefits of Christian living. How many of you know that there are many, many benefits and blessings and favor of God that you can reap by living out the principles of God in your life? You can also experience joy. But you have to tend to the seeds that have been planted. You must learn what things make these seeds grow the best. What is it that can make joy grow in my life? You must learn not only what causes them to grow, but what are the things that can suck the life from the seeds that have been planted within me by the Spirit. You can't grow a flower and never water it. I can't grow grass and spray Roundup at the same time. Those two do not mix. Sometimes our behaviors and our habits in life serve as opposition to the fruit, the development of the fruit in our life, or experiencing joy. In other words, you can't do whatever you want to do when you are a born-again Christian. Our purpose should be to live out the example that Jesus gave us while living on this earth. You can show joy and you can experience joy. The questions are, what are you doing to develop these seeds that have been planted? Do you study like you should? Do you pray like you should? Do you worship like you should? Do you consider God in all the things that you do, or just when you need Him? Do you seek the will of God in your life like you should? Do you give like you should? Your time, your talent, and your treasure. These are spiritual habits that will develop in your life as you grow closer to God. You will begin to volunteer. You will begin to want to be around like-minded believers. You will begin inviting people to church because of the change that God has had in your life. You will begin to be thirsty for leading others to Christ like you should. That is what we are called to do, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, your soul. First and greatest commandment. The second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. There should be a change that takes place when you're born again that will allow these seeds of spirit to grow, such as joy. The growth of these seeds are signs of spiritual maturity. Are you growing? Are you maturing? When you look back at who you were 6 months ago, a year ago, 6 years ago, maybe that person isn't all bad and they were making progress, but has God taken you from glory to glory and from mountaintop to mountaintop? Is your life growing and are you maturing in Christ? You should be. If you're not, you have to reflect on what is it that I need to do to see the fruit of the Spirit begin to develop in my life. Why don't I have joy like I should? We're supposed to bear much fruit. The first one was love. The second one is joy. We're supposed to show love, experience love, and we are supposed to have much joy. Why is it so hard to experience much joy? The growth of these seeds of the Spirit require you to mature, but unfortunately, many of you will always just allow for them to remain seeds that never manifest themselves in your life. Sometimes you may wonder why God is doing great things in the lives of others, but it doesn't seem like it's happening in yours. What are the habits that you're developing in your life? How are you watering these seeds? You want the manifestations of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Y'all don't even want me to preach on that one today. Self-control done got a lot of us. Probably got some of y'all this morning, this week, yesterday, last year. You know, you don't always want to tend to the seed of self-control. I would ask y'all to raise your hand, but I already know the answer. Self-control will get you in trouble, or a lack of it. Seeds, they will not flourish on their own. You can't just plant something and walk away from it. When you got all of the what you were going to get when you gave your heart to God, it requires attending to. I believe that the fruit of the Spirit are the hallmark identifiers of a Christ follower. Let me not be remembered by what I accomplished in my career. Let me not be remembered by the material things that I've been able to attain. Let me not be remembered by things that will fade, that are not eternal. But let me be remembered by the love that I showed, the joy that I have, the peace that I'm able to experience, the patience, the kindness, and the goodness, and the faithfulness, the gentleness, self-control. Let me be remembered by one who could consistently at least work at becoming better at all these things. One of my sermons years ago, I remember the note that's coming back in my head. Those with the most toys do not win at the end of life. You cannot take your possessions with you. When you get to heaven, you will answer in an effort to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I love it when my wife says she loves me. I always tell her, you know, anybody ever heard of the five love languages? Fellas, you know we can get needy, right? Some of y'all never heard of those. Anybody ever heard of the five love languages? Go home and take the little thing. Mr. Graff, you never heard of them? She said, oh, yeah, I heard of them. Anytime I'm getting needy, ladies, you know we can get needy, right? We get needy. I say, hey, I'm words of affirmation. I'm like randomly throwing it out there just hunting for a compliment like I'm somebody special. But I don't even know why I said that. So I'm going to get right back in my notes. Maybe some of y'all need to go home and take the love language survey. I'm going to call it a survey. It's a book on it and everything, small group. Anybody else like it when people say, oh, I know what it was, when my wife says, I love you. I love it when she says, I love you. You know, like when I'm outside cutting the grass. Oh, I got to be quiet. She just walked out the door. She's going in the thing. So I got to be a good kid. I just saw her back there. And she said, no, no, no. No, she didn't. But her words of affirmation will always pale in comparison to the day that I hear, and those are good words, but the day that I hear, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not from you, not from my kids, not from my boss, not from my wife, but from the great Creator, the one who made it all, the one who made something out of nothing. The one that can see what we cannot see. He knows what we do not know, and he's been where we haven't been. The day that I hear him say, well done, Scott Fussnecker. You have been faithful. You have been faithful. The hallmark identifiers of a Christ follower are these fruit of the Spirit. When nourished, they are noticed. When you're a fan and not a true follower, no one can experience them the way that they should. Encourage you today to be fully devoted, fully dedicated, all in, out of the bleachers, in the game, bona fide, authentic follower of Jesus Christ. Not just when you need it, but even when you're experiencing the goodness of God, to continue to devote your life to Him. The fruit of the Spirit, when exhibited, is infectious to those who are around you. When you show a lot of love, the law of God says that you will reap a lot of love. It's sowing and reaping. You can't do anything about it. The Bible says what you sow, you will reap. You can't do anything about that. So you ought to just sow some love. You ought to just sow some joy, some self-control. When you sow these things in your life, when you show these things in your life, they will return to you by the law of the Bible that says you will reap what you sow. Sure who that one was for, but sometimes it even gets me, the pastor. I'm going to give you some quick bullet points on joy and why it's important and what is important to think about. It's important to know that joy goes beyond the temporary. I may get a flat tire on my way today, on the way home today, and I won't be very happy about it, but it's not going to experience this deep-rooted joy that I experienced through Christ. I'd like to walk home today and have some unexpected check for $5,000 today, and that might make me happy a little bit more than getting the flat tire, but it doesn't define whether or not I am going to be joyful in the Lord. It's just a thing that I can't take with me. Despite the outer circumstances that surround us, joy is always present. It requires a deep spiritual nourishing. What are you doing to feed the joy of the Lord? It goes beyond the temporary. It's eternal. Luke 15:10 says, there is joy before the angels of God over the sinner who repents. The angel's been around for a little while. He just didn't like get created yesterday. They're not temporary. Joy is not temporary, but rather it is eternal. I know that because in Luke chapter 2, verse number 10, the angel appeared and said that we would be receiving good tidings of great joy because the eternal God, the creator of all, sent himself to be manifested in humanity, Christ with us, Emmanuel. So the eternal God became great tidings of good joy or good tidings of great joy. It's eternal. The relationship you have with God and the relationship of God through Christ remains even in the deserts and valleys of life. He's still there. It's still eternal. It doesn't define the great joy that you can experience. Joy is not defined by happiness. Joy can exist in times of unhappiness. It's eternal. Joy cannot be overcome. There is joy in the fact that the enemy cannot overcome you. 1 John 4:4 says, the spirit who lives in you is greater than. I wasn't very good at math. I probably fell off the wagon sometime just ever to less than, greater than, less than. Whatever grade you're in when you get that one. I was good until they started throwing letters in there instead of numbers. You said we were doing math. Now you're bringing in all that X and the squared and this and that. I just need numbers. So I probably fell off somewhere a little bit after the greater than, less than. Which is why I love the Bible, who speaks so clearly that the spirit that lives in me is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. I can have joy. The world might not care if I have joy. The world may not care about my well-being. The world may not care about my future. The world may not care about any of these things. But my Bible says that greater is the spirit that is in me than the spirit that is not within me. Joy cannot be overcome. Joy has to grow. Like any other fruit, when tended to, it has no choice but to become bigger in your life. You have to remember, though, as a new Christian, sometimes you may not be used to experiencing the joy of the Lord in your heart, even in the midst of trouble. Some of you that know my family and our situation here in the last few weeks, well, the last 13 weeks, you know, I get up early in the morning. It got me good today. I got up at 3:55, y'all. Got me good today. But I get up early in the morning so that I can spend my time with God, my meditation, my prayer time, you know, after I do my fantasy baseball lineup, because I got a lot for that time in there, and get my websites in, my Buckeye News and all of that. After that, and I'm able to get all that off my mind, say, okay, now I can spend a little time with God. Say, that's backwards, Pastor. Look, I've got to do it that way because I'd be thinking, how did my team do? How did my team do? How did my team do? So I just got to find out. Then I can get in there. So I've been having to get up earlier because for those of you that don't know, my daughter has not been able to walk for 13 weeks. She got 2, 3, 4 left and another 4, 5, 6 weeks of rehab. So we're getting up, we're driving down, taking her out to Oxford so that I can get to work on time. Now, there is a positive. She's getting to work an hour and a half early, and she's a first-year teacher, so I give her a lot more time to get in there and do some more planning. About 5, 6, 7 more hours a week while my wife takes my grandson to daycare, adding hours to the day. A struggle. Not fun. We're not happy because of this. I said, oh, great. The doctor said 4 more weeks. Archer's just so glad. I could have swore he's going to let you walk. But, man, I'm thrilled. You can't walk for 4 more weeks. But it's not attached to my joy. The joy that comes in is she's still got that foot because we've been covered. The joy is she still find a way to get a job. The joy is God still, you only have to push a button nowadays to get your car to start. Back in the day, you used to have to turn the key, jump them. I know some of y'all had some of them cars, them stick shifts. You got to push it and run with it and jump in and pop the clutch. Say you ain't never heard of them. I had a couple of them. My first car was a 1984 Escort. And since I couldn't afford the limited GT Escort, I took all the metal off and I spray painted it gold and stuck it back on there. You want to talk about having a hard time when I drove up to my soccer practice. My boys was like, Fuzz got the limited edition. Look at him go. Got that gold series. Can't even believe I did something like that. Mom and Dad, I'm sure they inside like, let him go. Just let him go. I had my own job. I bought my own spray paint. Let me paint it up. Back to the lesson. Where was I at? Talking about joy. Joy will be your strength. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly, I hope that is you. And if it's not, you can be that today. All you've got to do is accept him as Savior. Being godly doesn't mean you're perfect. Being godly means that you strive to perfect your faith from day to day. That when you trip, you get back up and continue to march on in Jesus' name. Trying to strive for the plan and purpose to be manifested in your life that God made you to live out. The godly run to him and become safe. You guys don't have this back at the board. I'm going to look up Psalms 23 because I do not. Did I put that in there? Okay, I got that one. Thank goodness I got that one in there because that's about a lot of verses. But I ended it here on purpose. Because you will not be able to experience joy until you understand what this verse says. Now, a shepherd, by definition, says it's a guide or to guide or direct in a particular direction. Now in a few minutes here, John's going to come up. He's going to sing what could be maybe my favorite song. The line in the song says, "What a shepherd that he is." Psalms 23 talks about it. The fullness of joy. You want the fruit of spirit, the fruit of the Spirit? You want joy in your heart and your life? Make the Lord your shepherd. I've got an earthly father. He's a pretty good one. If you haven't met Simon Fussnecker yet, you meet him, you won't forget him. And you're meeting a 74-year-old. You 74 now? 74? You're meeting a 74-year-old one. You should have met the 44-year-old one. You think I'd get on a roll. Be glad this boy gave his heart to the Lord. And I've got a great earthly father. I didn't realize till I got older the struggle that they went through to provide for me the things that I thought came automatic in life. But you see, you get some years under your belt and you think, boy, I didn't know mom and dad was doing this. Like, will these be separate checks? No, just put it all on one. Stuff like that. How did they do it? I remember mom used to fold my clothes and put them on the, so thankful for that. You know, I told my wife the other day, I never even asked you to fold my clothes. You just wash them and assume the responsibility of doing my laundry. Thank you. As if we got assigned roles in marriages, man. Thank you. I never did even ask you to do that. And I remember mom used to stack them up on the steps, man. Anytime you heard something in the early morning like this, you knew me or Russ fell down them steps. Early in the morning because we ain't been clearing the steps off. And then all of a sudden you hear, I'm all right. The stuff they do. I got good parents. But the shepherd that we call the Lord, there's no comparison. Where they lack, wherever that might be, we lack nothing. When we make him the Lord of our life. What a shepherd he is. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. What a shepherd. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. My, my, my. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Anybody there right now, maybe you've been there. You can testify through the fact that God will go with you. You do not have to fear any evil. What a shepherd who's with you. Lord, your rod and your staff. Not only do they guide me and give me direction. As painful as the guidance and direction from God can be sometimes. I was talking to Linda today and she said, boy, you got to be careful what you pray for, Pastor. You know, we pray for stuff and then we want it our way. And say, no, you prayed for it. Now you're going to get it God's way. But his rod and his staff, they will comfort you. What a shepherd. God, you prepare a table before me. In the presence of all the haters. Enemies must have been a popular word when this one was. But I like to throw some haters in there. In the presence of those who are against me. You anoint my head with oil. And my cup is not only full. But it overflows with joy. What a shepherd he is. Surely your goodness, God, and your love will follow me all of my days. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is good preaching because it's the word. I'd like to be able to quote the rest of it, but the wheel of death has came about back there in the back booth. You guys know what the wheel of death is, don't you? When you hit that Apple computer and that wheel of death just keep going. And I don't want to waste time. Looking it up on the internet. You can go on there and look at the rest of Psalm 23. Contrary to what y'all think, I don't quote every verse of the Bible. I like it when I'm up on the stage. You'd be like, Pastor, what's that verse back in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Huh? Man, I don't know. I ain't been back in Deuteronomy in a second. Chill out. A couple pastors in here know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I asked John Graff because he's a superintendent. What's that Ohio Revised Code on the... I don't sit home and read Ohio Revised Code all day now. Where is John at? John Tibbs, you here? Come on out. He sings a song called What a Shepherd. Are you able to get the words up? Maybe that's all the verse I had back there because that responded really fast. So maybe that's my fault. Maybe I just went to verse 6. You meet me here. We're talking about the shepherd. You meet me here and I need nothing. You've covered me. I will not fear. And I will rest by these waters. You've delivered me and I will not fear. And oh, you're with me. God, you're with me. And then he starts into the chorus that says, what a shepherd, ever keeping me, ever leading me with love and with mercy.